particulars of the seller, the particulars of the purchaser, the property details, the purchase price, needs to be provided to SARS. And then depending on the purchase price, an amount may or may not be payable to SARS.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Unpack podcast. This week we'll be unpacking the home buying process in South Africa. Buying a home involves finding the property, securing financing, making an offer, getting a home inspection, and closing on the purchase. But in order to get all of that done, there are so many people who are involved. Today I'll be chatting to an associate director in a firm's property law division. Karin, can you please introduce yourself?
This is Karin Kutsia, and I'm from VDT Attorneys in Pretoria. I'm an associate director in the Commercial Property and Conveyancing Division for the past 10 years. We generally attend to a very wide spectrum of conveyancing matters, from simple, transfers, bond registrations, drafting of sale agreements, through to more specialized developments, servitudes, and like that. Yeah.
So VDT Attorneys is actually not a stranger to our podcast. We have an episode where we spoke to one of their attorneys. She explained the process of being a property attorney, what exactly they do on a day-to-day basis, and how to qualify to become one. I highly recommend heading back to season one and listening to my episode with Pimi from VDT Attorneys. So on to today's topic. Obviously, the home buying process is different in every country, and today we'll be focusing on South Africa. The laws in South Africa are pretty much the same for every single province, and usually the amount of things that influence the amount of time that it takes to process your paperwork from the time you sign your offer to purchase to the day you get your title deed all depends on, obviously, your municipality, if courts are open, and what's happening in the province or the city where you live. So right now with COVID involved, obviously, some things are a bit delayed. But Karina, I'll let you explain, how long does it take to buy a home?
Well, that's a very good way of constructing your question, Leratu, because yes, the time periods in the more normal circumstances differs from what we're experiencing currently. But yeah, so taking away all the challenges that we're facing now, normally a transfer process takes approximately 5 to 8 weeks, depending on various, factors that you have to take into account. But that's more or less the time frame that you can work on.
So Karin, today I want us to unpack the home buying process. So for somebody who doesn't know what they are about to get into, what are some of the most important things that we need to know? Starting obviously with the offer to purchase. So after I've seen this beautiful house that I really love and I want to buy this house, and the estate agent hands me an offer to purchase, so what should I know before I sign?
A lot of the people that we come across that are thinking about purchasing a property, they do not realize the impact and the implications of putting their hand and signature on that document. So an offer to purchase is when it's accepted by the seller, it becomes a legal binding agreement of sale. So in essence, I am a prospective purchaser. I have approached, let's say an estate agent is involved. She shows you the property, you like it, you want to buy it. You put your hand on writing and you sign that sale agreement, and it is accepted by the seller. Then a valid binding agreement has come into effect, and then it means, and this is quite important, it means that you are bound by the terms that set out in that document. And if one of the terms are that you need to obtain bond approval, then you have to proceed and attend to the necessary steps in order to procure that bond approval. Because it's very important to note that if a week later you do change your mind, the seller can still keep you, bound to that agreement, and he can claim specific performance, enforcing the agreement and, you know, forcing you to do what you undertook to do in that agreement. You understand? So very important concept to understand that it is not just something that you can sign and then a week later change your mind. You have to make sure that you are committed, that you are ready to proceed. So once that agreement then has been concluded, it's been accepted by the seller, then the process, there's a two-way process. The one is that you already have finance in place, and it's a, we call it a cash transaction. The period, the agreement sets out the periods in terms of which the purchase price needs to be secured. And once that's then in place, the transferring attorney or the conveyancer will proceed with what we call the transfer process. And if you allow me the time, I can just quickly, briefly set out, you know, what that entails. The transfer process basically that from inception, from the sale agreement, and once the proceeds or the purchase price has been secured, the transferring attorney will then obtain all the relevant personal information that an attorney is required to have, you know, on file. It's basically like a due diligence that needs to be done in respect of each new business transaction. And that's the Financial Intelligence Center Act that places that obligation on us as conveyancers and as attorneys. So we will request the relevant information from the purchaser and the seller. Once we have that, we will draft the preliminary transfer documentation. Simultaneously with, you know, that process, we will have to apply for the clearance figures from the relevant city council. And depending on the type of property that you are purchasing, if, for instance, you are purchasing a sectional title unit in a scheme, there is a body, what you call the body corporate. And that's a discussion that we can have on another time. But you have to obtain a clearance certificate from the body corporate as well to certify that all the levies that's due in respect of property being purchased is paid up until date. So the relevant clearance certificates then also need to be obtained. And then one of the other certificates that's necessary in order to proceed with lodgement in the deeds offices is a transfer duty receipt. And that's a certificate or a receipt that you get from SASH. And in essence, it entails that the basic information of the agreement, the particulars of the seller, the particulars of the purchaser, the property details, the purchase price, needs to be provided to SASH. And then depending on the purchase price, an amount may or may not be payable to SASH. Yes, there's scales providing, you know, the amount of transfer duty that needs to be paid. And that's usually every budget speech, you know, the new scales are provided. So once this has been finalized, and by meaning the signing of the transfer documentation and obtaining all the relevant certificates, the documentation can be prepared by the conveyancer for lodgement in the deeds offices. And remember, we're now talking about only a cash transaction. So this is a very, very simple transaction that I'm now making reference to. Yes.
That's how my transaction was. That's exactly how mine was, except it took like 8 months. But yeah, okay, I understand. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why it's very important to note that there are numerous factors that can change this process and this time period. And one of the main factors that's usually, you know, relevant is bond approval. Most of the purchases don't have the means to pay cash and they need to obtain a bond. And then you are also bringing in the bank process, their time periods, that needs to be taken into account when you, you know, get a time frame. The bond approval process in itself, you know, can take about 30 days. Yes, the time period then differs quite a bit. And then also another thing that you have to take into account is in many instances, the seller will still have a bond over his property. So then you also need to get cancellation figures from his existing bank so that by the time that you register, you release the property from that existing bond.
So if there's money owed to the bank and the person who's responsible for that is the seller, right? Because that's his bond and that has nothing to do with me.
That's correct. Yes, exactly. Yes. There's you know, quite a few variables that always need to be taken into account. And I do have to note that each and every transfer differs. There's really not one transfer that, you know, flows just the same as the other one. Yes, the process is the same, but you always work with different people. There's always different parties, you know, and the council, the body corporate or the homeowners association, there's a lot of variables that needs to be taken into account. And one of the major delays usually caused by transfers is, for instance, if the rates and taxes of the seller is not up to date or he has a dispute with the council. Experience that unfortunately has also caused quite a big delay in the transfer process.
Yes. So one of the issues that I had personally was when we had to get the rates clearance certificate. So the seller was having an issue with the municipality that led to an almost like 7.5 months delay of the whole process. So basically they were saying that he owes money and he was saying he doesn't owe any money. And they were showing this historical debt, which he was saying he's not responsible for because that's debt from before he even moved into the house, which made no sense because that had to be checked before he moved in. But it was like a whole big process and there was a whole lot of back and forth. And which was frustrating for me as a buyer because I couldn't move into my house because we didn't have the certificate from the municipality. And the seller was fighting with the municipality trying to get this sorted. But it took a very long time and we reached the point where I was ready to cancel the sale. So I was even asking the attorney, can I like cancel the sale because I've been waiting for over 6 months and there's always back and forth in my emails. And yeah, we just reached the point where the seller was just like, okay, it's fine. I'll just pay this historical debt and I'll go fight the municipality in court so we can just get this moving because I was ready to pull out of the transaction because of this whole certificate issue.
Sure. Yes. Well, that's quite unfortunate. And there's also, just for interest's sake, in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, there's a section 118 that provides the council, for purposes of giving transfer or allowing transfer, they have to issue clearance figures for a period up until 2 years prior to date of the application. Meaning, for purposes of giving transfer, they can only claim that a two-year period arrear amount. You understand? So in that instance, the council ought to have provided section 118 figures, because what I understand from you, these were, you know, historic dates from way back. So that could not have been included in the 118 figures, or more likely, you know, it's unlikely that that could have formed part of the 2 year pro period. The council was, in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, actually obliged to provide, you know, figures to proceed with the registration of the property. It should not have caused such a delay. No, not at all. Not at all. They are completely separate from each other. So the first step will be the estate agent. If you want to, you can obviously sell the property, you know, from yourself. You can, you know, there's private property and property 24. You do not have to make use of an estate agent, but they are very skilled and they do have knowledge. And if you get a reputable estate agent, you will be in good hands to guide you through that process. And the estate agent will be mainly in the picture up until date of signing of the sale agreement. From there on, the estate agent will then instruct the transferring attorney. So it's basically a link course that that flows. It's first the estate agent, and then it flows over to the transferring attorney that then oversees the transfer process. And then, it's the process like I explained to you now. But the first step will be is to decide if you want to sell the property out of hand or if you want to instruct an estate agent.
So as somebody like me, for example, who is young, not married, I don't have any dependents, basically. So I was actually discussing this with my mom, like if I pass away or something happens to me, what happens to my property if I don't have a will? And also if I don't have anybody to give it to, like what do I do basically? So as like, I know you have to, like when somebody dies and they have to transfer the property, you have to pay some kind of tax. But what if I just don't have anybody who I can give the property to? So what happens? Do you guys assist with like that kind of stuff or like transferring from like a dead person basically?
Okay, so on that note, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, well, please do get a will. Not a will. Make sure that you get one. Call me afterwards so that we can schedule that. Of course, if you don't have a will, then the applicable legislation is the Interstate Succession Act. And that basically confirms that you did not die testate, meaning there's no will, you died intestate without a will. And the act prescribes the route that will be followed, basically who succeeds you and who will be eligible to obtain that property, to whom the property will be transferred. If you don't have descendants, then it will go to your mother in all likelihood. If there's no father, then everything will go to your mother. That whole process is prescribed in terms of the Interstate Succession Act. But it's always, always best, obviously, because it is your property. And whilst you are living, you are building up an estate. And to make sure that your will is in place, is in that way you are saying that this is what I want to make happen when my property is, when I am not around anymore. And in terms of the will, you will also appoint an executor or a representative then, and that person will be the authorized person that they get a certificate from the master of the high court, and that person will then be able to transfer your property from your estate into the name of any potential other purchaser.
I need to get that done. I was sick, I was in the hospital, and then I started having these thoughts. So I was speaking to my mom because I had a kidney infection and I had to go into the hospital, but now I'm okay. But while I was there and like lying in bed, I was like, okay, I need to start being serious about things. But this is very important. I will definitely get a will, and make sure like all my documentation is up to date. Yeah, thank you so, so much for taking time. And I hope everybody finds this insightful. So if somebody wants to reach out to VDT attorneys and somebody like me who needs to sell, how do we find you guys?
Oh, well, you can just Google, VDT, Victor Delta Tango, VDT Attorneys. You are so welcome to contact our offices on 012-452-1300. We are a very big firm in in Pretoria, very well established firm, and we have extensive experience in all conveyancing related matters. So Lerato, you and everyone else listening are really, really welcome to give us a shout if there's anything that we can assist you with.
Love this episode? Make sure to visit our website www.unpack.co.za to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply told a friend about us, that would be helpful too. Thank you for listening.